Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective on this Man's Theory Goes Out with a Bang episode, because the Big Bang didn't really cause creation. And we're going to be talking to Darren Wold. We've had him on the show before, and we're going to have him on the show again because he has been through the Bible so many times, I lost count. But, I didn't lose count. He told me 13 times. He's on his 14th time of reading the Bible, and he's gone through some other interesting documents, historical, and he's going to talk about those after some inspiration.
Our inspiration today is any questions, and I'm sure after today we might have a lot. Anne was meeting with her oral surgeon for a preliminary exam, a physician she'd known for many years. He asked her, "Do you have any questions?" She said, "Yes. Did you go to church last Sunday?" Her question wasn't intended to be judgmental, but simply to initiate a conversation about faith. The surgeon had a less than positive church experience growing up, and he hadn't gone back. Because of Anne's question and their conversation, he reconsidered the role of Jesus and the church in his life. When Anne later gave him a Bible with his name imprinted on it, he received it with tears. Sometimes we fear confrontation or don't want to seem too aggressive in sharing our faith, but there can be a winsome way to witness about Jesus. Ask questions. For a man who was God and knew everything, Jesus sure asked a lot of questions. While we don't know his purposes, it's clear his questions prompted others to respond. He asked his disciple Andrew, "What do you want?" He asked blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" He asked the paralyzed man, "Do you want to get well?" Transformation happened for each of these individuals after Jesus' initial question. Is there someone you want to approach about matters of faith? Ask God to give you the right questions to ask. Heavenly Father, please help us reach out to others in a way that can lead to transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I've been transformed by asking questions. I think it's because I never get a good answer when I look at our culture and science. And because, you know, the Big Bang Theory, I just don't buy that an explosion in the atmosphere could have caused all the things that have caused. And that's why I say Man's Theory Goes Out with a Bang with Darren Wold, because he's read through the Bible. He's read through the most proven scriptures in history on the planet ever recorded, right, in human history. And, you know, I think about the Bible and creation, and we're going to talk about creation today because of our, you know, 45 billion year old planet, which I'm trying to figure out the numbers here. There's no evidence of that. And scientists pretty much are always wrong, always wrong. And the politicians tied to the scientists, they're definitely lying to you, because they said we were going to run out of aluminum and copper in like 1975 and 78. And mankind was going to starve in the 1990s. Now we got more food and more fat people than ever. We got tons of food, so much food, we've got to go on diets. So the science is wrong. Creation is in the Bible, and it's true. Welcome to the studio, Darren Wold, creation.
All right, Tim. What we're going to talk about, too, along with the creation story, is the actual biblical timeline. When we, when you and I are looking at the dates that we have in our mind, if I say, Tim, what year were you born, what would you tell me?
I would tell you 1978.
But how, 1978, what how's that measured from? What do you call that?
That would be the Gregorian calendar, right?
Yes, and it's in our modern vernacular, we'd say AD, and most people think that's after death. It has a Latin term there.
Anno Domini?
Yes, Anno right. Domini.
Now, this has changed, though, because there's been some timeline changes over the years, and we don't have time to go into all of those changes in this episode here. But obviously, we were supposed to run out of food a few years back. We were supposed to run out of natural resources. Maybe I shouldn't even have been born because we were already overpopulated, right? The population bang. We were all going to die. But we didn't die. We're still here. And they're telling us all of this information about how old the planet is. But I know how old I am. And, yes. And how can I know that? And they can't know how old the planet is when it's already written.
Well, I think there's been a concerted effort to hide that fact. And the beauty is because we have the Word of God, we actually have a very accurate description of the historical background that we would need.
But this doesn't take 14, 15, 16 years of college for someone to understand, like these scientists, because you have helped high school students, right?
Oh, yeah.
Figure this out.
We, at our church, we taught the youth this whole thing, and they really enjoyed this, because how many times do we get together with the youth, and I get to tell them, would you pull your cell phone out? And they're looking at me like, what? And you know how it is with a kid. You have them pull out their cell phone, and the first thing they do is they all start touching it, going, my precious.
It's their favorite thing. But every other teacher says, put your cell phones on silent, put them away.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't let them have
it. So they get their calculators out, and you just go through this timeline.
Yep, and so what we do is we start there. It's one of those points in the Bible. It's Genesis 5. It's not the most exciting, but in the genealogies.
Actually, it is not the most exciting. And most Christians don't know about this truth that the science is lying to us about. Because we get to these things and we're like, I can't pronounce half of these names. There's nothing interesting in
here. Why would they list just a whole bunch of names in a whole chapter?
Who kills who? What's the story about this? Okay, move on to that. This other passage that the people like to use in church all the time to preach a whole sermon about this one sentence. But these paragraphs tell us world history.
Yeah, and what we're doing is, so if we start with chapter 5, it talks about Adam. And in verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and he begat a son, and that son was Seth. A few more verses down, it said Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Well, as we keep going, what I tell the kids is first type in 130, then put plus, then type in 105, then put plus. Then you're going to go to the next one and the next one. So we just keep going on down the line until you get to Noah. Now, push equals. And it's funny.
That's all right in Genesis 5.
This is all right here in Genesis 5. I mean, you're going to add it all up. You're going to go, wait a minute. How in the world could you tell me millions of years and all this other stuff if from creation to the flood ends up being 1,656 years, according to the Bible? And now, there are those that don't want to believe the Bible. That's fine. But if you're a Christian, you believe the Bible, then that should be pretty solid evidence that you got 1,656 years from
creation. Well, and we've said this before, though, to the flood. The most proven document on the planet, archaeologists have used it, science have used it. I believe medicine and medical doctors have used it. So there's amazing science in the Bible. Everybody that went out to disprove it became a believer.
Yeah.
Atheists, stories, you know, testimonials of people that just hate those Christians in their Bible. I'm going to disprove it over centuries.
Yes, and the majority of them come back to realize, oh, this is 100% accurate.
They become pastors.
Yep. So as you're adding this together, one of the things you're going to notice, instead of using AD, BC, this timeline, if you want to use the Latin term, is called Anno Mundi, or AM, which also translates as Year of the World. Anno Mundi, Year of the World. And so you could say that Noah's flood occurred on 1656 AM. All right. Now, using that same method, which is very simple, you just turn the page and you go to the next set of genealogies. And as you work your way through Genesis, you're going to be able to find out the time between the flood and then Noah's sons and grandsons and great grandsons. And all of a sudden, a guy comes on the scene. You guys know him. His name is Abram.
Abram, yeah.
Abram, when you add up those dates, he comes at 1948 AM.
Now hold on, Abram, that's Abraham?
Well, first he's born Abram.
He's born Abram.
But God, remember, adds the H-A, the Ha, which is part of actually the name of the Lord, which is really interesting. So the Ha, or the breath of the Lord, comes into Abraham and Sarai, who becomes Sarah. So you have Abram and Sarai, who become Abraham.
Now, how many children was she supposed to have?
Well, she only had one, right?
And his name?
Isaac.
Isaac?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through this timeline. I don't want to take you off
this. The reason I wanted to point this out is at 1948 AM, we have Abram's birth. Well, it's interesting because Abraham becomes the father of what nation?
Israel.
Israel, the Jewish nation. When did Israel come back into their land in the place they are right now?
This is
1948 AD. AD. So we're talking May 14th, 1948 AD is when Israel became a nation.
That's again. When Israel became a nation. But
the father of Israel was born on 1948 A.M.
A.M., which from we would say is B.C.
Well, no, it's not.
It's not that.
Not the same. Remember, B.C. is backwards from...
Oh, that's right. B.C. is backwards. Backwards, okay, yes. So we're talking about the forward count from creation. From creation. So the father of Israel, born in 1948, Israel becomes a country in 1948.
But they're using totally AD. Different... calendar systems. One is the AM or Anno Mundi, year of the world. The other is the AD or Anno Domini, after death is what people commonly will say.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that we run into that date at that point in that time. There's a lot of other really weird things in here too that people don't know about. You guys have heard of an amazing Christian man by the name of Isaac Newton.
Oh yeah, no, Isaac Newton. Yeah.
He's an amazing mm-hmm. man, and he was not just a Christian, but he was a brilliant man. Had a mind for. We get our Newtonian laws of physics out of his studies and his words. In the 1640s, he was working in London, in the Tower of London specifically, doing all kinds of work there. But in his spare time, he had a fascination with the scriptures, because at that point in time, this new unit of measurement that had just kind of finally gotten under development and had started being used by cartographers throughout the world. And they were now starting to do hyper-accurate measurements all across the world, the known world at the time in 1640. And they're writing these numbers down. And he got a hold of some that were very interesting to him, because he started to notice a correlation between these dates in the Bible and these distances that were measured. And this measurement is called a nautical mile. If you know what a nautical mile is, it's an actual biblical measurement. A nautical mile is, I believe, one arc second of the circumference of the earth. You end up with, it's just a little bit larger than a mile is what a nautical okay. mile is. So what he found in these measurements, and this is crazy. So from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to the steps of the capital of Babylon, the capital city, the capital of Babylon, was exactly 587 nautical miles. And that was interesting, because it was 587 when the Babylonians came, destroyed the temple, and took the Jews into captivity. 587 BC, they were taken into captivity to a place that was 587 nautical miles. From the
Tower of Babylon?
From the Jewish temple.
From the Jewish temple, okay.
And then if you read your Bible further, you find out that then we have another group that comes in and takes control. Remember the little finger, the writing on the wall? And you have Nebuchadnezzar's son there, and he's having a party, and they're using all of the gold utensils from the temple, and they're drinking out of them, thinking they're having a great time, and all of a sudden, Tekel Tekel Meini Persa comes written onto the wall by a hand out of nowhere. And that's when the Persians came in and took over. Well, the capital of the Persians...
They were destroyed by the Persians because of their... God allowed it to happen because yes. of the way that they were operating.
So then the Israelites that are under the Babylonians' control are now taken to Persia. Very interesting. The capital of Persia was Nineveh, and from the temple to the temple of Nineveh, the capital of Nineveh there, is exactly 536 nautical miles, because that occurred in 536 BC. He writes this down in this book that he's writing. It's in Latin. It's a special book. He was just making observations. And then he made a prediction, which was fascinating to me. He said, the Bible speaks of a time when the Jews will come back into their land. Well, in 1640, there was no Israel nation. There was no Jewish nation. They had not come back into their land. And he said in his book, he said, you need to pay close attention to the country most associated with allowing the Jewish people to have a nation of their own, and you will find a direct correlation between them and the distance between their capital city and the temple steps and the time that it happens.
It's pretty amazing. Well, it's time to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with Darren Wald. Very interested in the scriptures, read them now on his 14th reading of the scriptures. Also looked at the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other amazing text, so we're going to have him back again. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to continue to talk about the timeline and creation. Don't go anywhere.
This is a call to worship Freedom Fest, two nights in the throne room. Vantage Washington, August 27th and 28th. This is a free event, so bring your family, your friends, your camping gear, your heart and soul, and make the pilgrimage to Vantage with spectacular live performances, including Brian Trejo, Justin Gambino, One Way Lane,
gonna fix my eyes on Jesus,
and many more. Be enveloped by God's word as you experience the Holy Spirit-filled preaching from Russell Johnson of Pursuit Church, Richard Gordon of Bethel, and many more. Freedom Fest, two nights in the throne room, August 27th and 28th in Vantage, Washington. Come, receive, rejoice, and be transformed. Reserve your campsite today and worship under the stars. FreedomFestWA.com.
And welcome back. We are on this man's theories go out with a bang episode because man's theories could not have created the kinds of correlations that I think spiritual powers have control over in biblical times as well as ours. We're not going to believe man's theories anymore. We can just go right back to the text in the Bible and we can know that we are looking at some crazy times with what's going on in our culture and our world. And we could just look back in world history and see the carbon dating and man's timeline doesn't exactly match up with God's timeline. And I've, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of this, all this, you know, they use it for political scare propaganda purposes. But in all reality, there's timelines that are probably going to be exposed to us that we don't know about. And there's timelines that are right in front of us that a lot of Christians, we don't know about because we didn't closely read the text and the genealogies like you went through in the first half, taking us from creation to the flood and beyond.
Well, let's pick up right where you left off. We were talking about how Sir Isaac Newton had said there'd be a direct correlation to the time when Israel gets to come back into their land. The Jews become a nation again, and the time that happens will directly correlate to the nation that is, or the people that are most responsible for getting them there. So we already know the date. It was May 14th, 1948. Who are the people most responsible for this? Well, when you go back and look at the accord that was written up during the United Nations meeting that they had at that time.
That was right after World War II.
It was Great Britain. Great Britain was the one that was in ownership of the land of Palestine, the Palestinian area, the whole area of the Levant, as they call it. And they were the ones that allowed this to happen. Without Great Britain, this would have never happened.
Now, wasn't this right after there's stories that people have seen, like famous actors have played him out? Was it Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right during that time. So the World War II, everybody focuses on Germany and they focus on Europe and they focus on maybe Japan. A lot of people don't really focus on the story of the Middle East, what was going on during World War II.
Yes, and at the same time, that land was completely barren, devoid of anything. It was horrible. Swamps, mosquito-infested, malaria-infested swamps, or deserts with no grass, no trees. It looked like, if you read Mark Twain's book where he actually visited that area, he was like, this is the worst place in the world. Nothing grows here. Why would you want to live here? Okay.
Well, it's been warred over for a couple thousand years,
yes,
right?
Yes, it has, and destroyed multiple times. But when the Jews come back in 1948, May 14th, and it's Great Britain that's mostly involved, you then take a direct correlation in the nautical mile from the temple to the most direct location, or capital location in Great Britain is London. And then very specifically, in London, there is a single stone on the Thames River that every location on the British Isles from London is measured to that stone. It's called the London Stone. It's a very famous stone. In fact, if you read more into this, you find out that stone was brought over by the Knights Templar, and it is original foundation stone that was taken from the Temple Mount and put on the Thames River by the Knights Templar.
Now, some people might think that some of this stuff sounds crazy, but if you think about it, folks, if you live in the city of Spokane, you live how far away from Division? Well, you can count it in blocks, east and west, right?
Yeah.
How far do you live from Sprague? Well, you can count it east. So there's a way that man, also there's ways in history where God has created these things that have happened. So this is not crazy that there is a location that everything is measured from in history. It's not, this is not some kind of you know, strange archaeological myths that we're coming up with, these things have been going on, well, long before we created Division Street in Spokane. These things have been created by man, by God, by nature for a long time. So go ahead and get back to this the nautical miles.
So what we end up with is from that temple stone that's in the Thames River in London to the steps of the temple is exactly 1,948. Now it's interesting, 0.46 miles. So I started doing the math thinking, how in the world does that fit? And I came up with the 0.4 because the actual date is 1948 May 14th, and the 0.4 gets me to May 14th. Where's this 0.06 of a nautical mile coming into place? So I typed that in, and it came up to, I believe, 121 feet, which then when you start at the temple steps and you then trace yourself through the temple, 121 feet puts you directly in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant would have sat.
Wow.
So this is Sir Isaac Newton's theory that he put forward in 1640. I mean, this is well before Israel's even thought of coming back as a nation. But it shows this biblical timeline that's been in existence, that's been there. And then if you're using that AM calendar, using from the day of creation and creating forward, you know, we talked about 1656 is the year of the flood. 1948 AM is Abraham's birth. You can keep working through the Old Testament. You find out the Exodus was in 2448 AM. That's when the Exodus story happened and the Jews crossed the Red Sea.
And that's based upon all of the genealogy in the Bible.
Exactly.
And the age of the characters that we've all been studying, the stories that we've heard in the Bible. These genealogy sections that we skip because they don't really tell us the exciting story.
And they're kind of boring.
It tells you how old the people are, and you just do the math in years.
You just add them up. You just add them up. So we get to 2,448 for the Exodus story. It's interesting. As you keep working your way forward, you end up with, and it's an approximate date, there's a couple years either way it could go, but it's the birth of Christ at about 3,924 AM. Yeah, it could be a couple years before or after.
That, and what's interesting, there. So they tell us that the earth is billions of years old or whatever, millions of years old. We hear all these things. Mm-hmm. But then the same kinds of people, scientists that collaborate on different things, try to come up with the real birth of Christ. What, you know, was it really in December? So they're trying to figure out months when we're arguing about the creation of years.
Yeah.
Or millennia.
Exactly. And now think about this. If I just told you that Christ was born 3,924 years from the creation, that gives about 4,000 years maybe, or just a little under.
Yeah.
And then, so in 3957, he's crucified, and we know we're just over 2,000 years past that point. We're working on a 6,000-year calendar. I mean, does that make sense to you?
6,000-year-old planet.
6,000-year calendar. And there's some interesting things in that whole timeline that keep pointing back to everything being so young. And the science keeps blowing up in our faces all over the place. You know, when I teach the creation stuff, one of the things kids always bring out, well, what about the dinosaurs? The dinosaurs, they got to be millions of years old. And I like tell them, have you guys heard about the T-Rex fossils that they cut open over here in Montana? And when the paleontologist opened up the bones, she found soft, fleshy bone marrow, blood vessels inside the bones.
Because they were encapsulated, the bones were in, you know, mud and under lots of dirt that kept it moist, didn't allow it to dry out. But the problem is it didn't totally rot away either.
Yeah. So here's the problem. Millions of years. No, that's impossible. And they even admit it. They're trying to find a way to talk themselves out of this because they realize there's no way this can be millions of years old. In fact, when they start playing with their own numbers in their lab, they realize it's probably can't even be 10,000 years old. There's no way.
Well, they do this whole carbon dating thing, and I've got to disagree with that because those very same scientists say we're all going to die of carbon in our atmosphere, even though our atmosphere has less carbon in it than it has
ever has
in ever all has. Of. I mean, when they drill into the cores and they look at, you know, how did we have plant life in this time frame, that time frame, and it's because they're lying to us. They're trying to say that basically the Bible's wrong in its time frame, mm-hmm. and. Mm-hmm. this thing with the dinosaurs and fossils and all these things. We go out in, what's there, Sprague Lake area. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at it, it looks kind of prehistoric because it's just mounds of rock. And it's a little bit different. And they tell us a tale about how, you know, thousands of years ago in the Ice Age created all this, when really, when you look at other science and areas that you're like, how did these big rocks and all this stuff get moved from these locations down to here? Well, in this area over here, it's the Ice Age. Over here, it was a great flood. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it was all the great flood.
And I think you had, you very well had an ice age, not multiple. I believe there was just one ice age, and it happened right there after the flood. And, you know, when I teach the creation story and I tell people that there was a canopy that held the air in that was above the earth. It's spoken of in Josephus' works. He talks about a crystalline firmament that was above the atmosphere, above the air. And it's spoken of as a crystalline firmament of water. Well, what's crystalline water?
Ice.
So if you had a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 inch layer of ice all around the planet, like a snow globe, and it held the air in that now go up 60 miles, say it's in 5 or 10 miles. Now, oh, that's why you had 2 atmospheres of pressure instead of 1 atmosphere. That's why you had 35% oxygen instead of 21% oxygen that we have now. It's why back then they had 6% carbon dioxide, whereas now we have 0.04%.
And 0.04 is nothing. I mean, we need to be more scared of oxygen.
Yes,
than we do.
It's a catalyst.
Yeah. Right. It's what helps everything decay, right?
And start fires. You ever wondered why fires just blow up like crazy? The more oxygen you get in your atmosphere, the better fires burn.
They do. Well, and oxygen's important for life, but, you know, plant food is important for our life, too.
We need the plants. I mean, we do.
If my understanding is we're at 0.04 carbon in our atmosphere.
Yep.
If we go below 0.03% in our atmosphere, plants die.
Most will. There's only a few that can survive without it.
So the truth is very apparent, and it's in front of us. There's science, there's history, there's written word, whether it's in the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Holy Bible. There's no real reason for us to trust the science. We need to trust the truth. Because they're lying to us all down these roads. And I know you're going to be coming back on another show here soon talking about the alien deception, the stuff that you had done, and we promoted an event that you did. But there's so much truth out there that just blows my mind that we weren't taught in school. I mean, now we're taught that, you know, you can be whatever gender you want or something like that, right? That we're overpopulated. Yet again, we're going to talk, we already did that one. That was, you know, 50 years ago we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
The baby boom, we should be starving to death right now, you know? So what kind of other truths do you think people should focus on in the Bible? Because we got to finish this to get to the time to Christ, right?
Yeah. So there's what I found recently in the Dead Sea Scrolls was interesting because it actually sets up how we get from the time of Christ to where we are now. And it also then shows there's a correlation between what we found in the Dead Sea Scroll calendar, the original calendar, the DSS calendar, and then also a correlation between the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch also speaks of the same thing. And what it is, they talk of an overall 7,000-year timeline that exists with 6,000 years of human occupation and a 1,000-year millennial rule and reign with the Messiah, with Christ, if you will. And so if that's coming out of the Book of Enoch, it's also coming out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and our Bible speaks very heavily of that. I kind of want to lean that way. And the rest of these guys that are spouting millions of years, billions of years, and all this other ridiculousness, I'm going to not pay them any attention because I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the words of the book. I believe all the other texts that I keep reading. And I mean, I can't tell you how many different ancient biblical texts say the same thing.
Well, and we've got to dig into those texts some more. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and because we don't have a million years, we only have 30 minutes. So we're out of time, and we're going to have Darren Wold back again because we're going to talk about the alien deception. But I think he's going to have to come back again because he's read into some of these scriptures and the Dead Sea Scrolls a little bit further than most of us have. So we've got to get that education. All that being said, folks, we'll be back with you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.